Praise the Lord. Just a few more days to labor. It's good, good. I'm going to talk about that tonight, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm excited tonight. Lynn and Carly and Sarah right up here, the Meltons, they are going to get baptized at the end of the service. And we haven't baptized since we came down here. And logistically trying to figure all that out and everything, but they're ready to get baptized, and praise the Lord. A couple weeks ago, I believe, or was it last week? Was it two weeks ago? I don't remember anyway. But Carly and Sarah both got saved. Brenda was able to lead them to the Lord after the service. And it was in the morning service, wasn't it? And they got saved, and they want to get baptized. Lynn has been saved for a while, and we talked about baptism, and she wants to get baptized tonight. So that's exciting, amen? That's a good thing. And at the invitation, they'll go up here, and you folks, we're going to have Brother Steve's going to take, you probably already did, maybe, or he will in a few minutes take the plastic down. You can go up that way, and we'll have a baptismal service, and I just am so excited about that. And praise the Lord for that. But 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, the Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." And he's talking here about, obviously, our body is our earthly tabernacle. It's going to die, and it's going to go to the dirt and ashes to ashes and dust to dust and all that. But we have another house, an eternal house, and the body that God is going to give us in heaven, a perfect body, a body that doesn't have to worry about sugar, body that doesn't have arthritis, a body that doesn't, I was going to say doesn't have hair for some of you guys, but probably it does. And it's going to be a perfect body, and can't even imagine what that's going to be like. But he says, in this we groan earnestly, desiring. Well, I'd like to have that. That's a body that doesn't sin. That's a body that is not flesh. It's a body that won't be tempted, can't be tempted, won't have wicked thoughts, won't have past junk to deal with, won't have bad memories, won't have past temptations and stuff pulling at us all the time. It'll be a perfect body. Somebody say amen. I mean, it's going to be good, and so. The Bible says we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with that. And it says, if so be that we, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And so death is swallowed up of life, and we'll never die. That body will never, never die. And so goes the famous sayings during funerals when I get on a roll and say, "And bless God, there will be no doctors in heaven, and there will be no funeral directors in heaven." And the funeral director looks at me and says, "I'm going to heaven." But anyway, they won't have that job in heaven, amen? And won't have any more sad funeral services or any of those kind of things. And it says, we groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. Therefore we are always confident. Well, you ought to underline that in your Bible. Knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, underline that, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And verse 9 is the title of my message, these three words, wherefore we labor. Wherefore always means on the basis of what I just said, wherefore we labor. And on the basis of what I'm about to say, wherefore we labor. That whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Whether here in my body or whether there in heaven, we may be accepted of him. Wherefore we labor. Father, thank you so much for the good music. Thank you for all the folks that help and fill in. We do pray for Debbie tonight that she'll get to feeling better. But I'm thankful that we have ladies that can play the piano and we just keep going. And I pray, God, that you'll fill the spot for Janet. It is the thing she's most concerned about. Lord, her shepherds and her Master Club girls. And so I pray that we'll have people volunteer and help out, and these ministries will not suffer because of this. And we just thank you, Lord, that we can labor for you. Bless now. Speak to our hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, he says, wherefore we labor, verse 9, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him, that we might somehow please the Lord, that we might do that which will please him. Obviously, when we get to heaven, that'll be pleasing to the Lord. I mean, he wants us in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. But it is also true that here on this earth, we can please him simply by doing his will, simply by doing what he wants us to do. And again, I'm not talking about some mysterious thing that you're looking for God to write across the sky. I'm talking about simple things as well. I'm talking about, the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Just giving thanks for the things God's given you. Quit looking at the things you don't have. Quit looking at what somebody else has. And let's start thanking God for the things that God has done for us. And we've got it good, every one of us here. But that's the will of God. Reading our Bibles, that's the will of God. It's clear in Scripture. Memorizing God's Word, that's the will of God. Praying is the will of God. We know that. We know that pleases Him. We know that going to church pleases Him. It is His will. He said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That is God's will. We know that to be a fact. And so we can please the Lord. We're accepted by the Lord, and we can do that right here in this body, in our bodies, our fleshly bodies, our wicked bodies, our sinful bodies. We still can do what the Lord wants us to do. And so Paul says, wherefore we labor. Because let's be honest, folks, God has work to do. And we're the ones that are supposed to do it. He doesn't tell the animals to do his work, although the whale did swallow the preacher. And although the donkey did talk to the preacher. It's always preachers getting in trouble. And, but God has work for humans. God has work for us to do. Wherefore, we labor. We've talked about how in Revelation it talks about works, and their works do follow them. Why? Well, because God's watching their works. Amen. He's watching our works. And so I get to thinking, you know, with summer, there's so much going on. There's so much to do. And it seems like, you know, aren't we supposed to rest? Aren't we supposed to be able to take it easy? And yet, you know, here's a dear, sweet saint. I don't know how old Janet is. I'm not even going to guess. Maybe 45 or more. But I don't know. Chuck said something about they used to go to Sunday school class together. So Chuck is what, 48? Several years ago he was. But here's this dear, sweet lady who is just so concerned about her ministry, so concerned about the labor, so concerned about what she needs to do. And, well, who's going to do it if I'm not doing it? And I think there's so much to do. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, wherefore we labor. This is why we're laboring. This is what it's all about. Here's how I'm going to labor, and here's why I labor. And that's really what the message is all about. I'll give you several points, and we'll be done. It will not be a long message tonight. Number one is our situation. Our situation. Verses 1 to 9, again, wherefore is always, you always look at what comes before it, and you always look at what comes after it. And that wherefore means everything. In other words, okay, here's why I'm doing what I'm doing. On the basis of this, on the basis of what I'm about to say and what I just said, this is why I labor right here. Wherefore we labor. You know, and verses 1 to 9, that's our situation. We're still here. Okay, here's a good test. Are you still here? Okay, good, good. See, some of you actually do these little tests, and I appreciate that. It makes me feel real good. One day, praise God, Beulah Land. Amen. One day we'll be in heaven. One day we'll be on streets of gold. One day we'll be in our mansion and enjoy all that heaven has and have a perfect body, a perfect tabernacle, and won't have to deal with sin anymore, sorrow, tears, death, none of it. But I'm here. Now there's a mansion there, and it's a beautiful mansion. It's not a like some of the liberals are saying today, little compartments. It's not little compartments. It's a mansion with big old pillars, amen? And in my case, with a chocolate pond out back, amen? You can have caramel all you want, strawberry. I don't care. I'm going to have my chocolate pond and my sugar lick in the front, amen? And just walk up and lick it every now and then and not have to worry about it. Praise the Lord. And but that's one day, okay? It's not today. Why? Because I'm here. I'm still here, okay? No more headaches. No more glaucoma drops. Hallelujah. No more little aspirin. Well, it's not little, but it's that whatever it's called for ever. How many of you take those, what are they called? Small dose aspirins. How many? Isn't that something? Low dose. Yeah. Look at us all. We're all taking our low dose aspirin. Well, you know, it keeps that heart going. Amen. I don't know about that. But anyway, you know, no more of those. No more. Well, we got to get all these vitamins. And if you don't have these vitamins, you're going to, you know, there's going to be problems with this and problems with that. And no more. But wait a minute. I can't celebrate yet. I'm looking forward to it. It's coming. But I got to quit doing that. There we go. I'm here. I'm still here. That's my situation. Now look, heaven, okay, none of us can even imagine. None of us can even, I mean, we can read what the Bible says. God only gives us a little bit of hint of heaven. Streets of gold. We can't even think about that because we can't imagine what that's like. Walls of jasper. I mean, we just kind of, okay, yeah, that sounds nice. But to have no sin. To not have a bad thought at all. To not fake anything. Amen. To just rejoice and praise God, not worry about what everybody thinks. Yeah, to not wonder about our health care and our government. And why did they buy all those bullets? And to not even have to worry about it. But that's not now. Why? I'm still here. And you're still here. What do you mean? I mean, here's my situation. I'm here. I mean, Paul says in 9 verses, Paul says, I am still here. I groan for there. I long for there. There is much better. But I'm still here. Wherefore, we labor. I think the thought is, whatever keeps me from there must be mighty important. Amen. It must be important. I mean, honestly, when you got saved, why didn't God just take you to heaven? You'd have been better off. If God would have taken me to, I think of all the tears that have been shed. I think of all the hurt, all the pain, all the sorrow, all the funerals alone and the hospital visits alone and just people hurting. I think of all of that. And I'll be honest with you. I would have been, seems like I'd have been better off. God would have just, I got saved and just go to heaven. But whatever keeps me from that, from Beulah Land, I'm longing. But whatever's keeping me from that, it must be important. Paul said, wherefore, we labor. We labor. You say, yeah, but labor's work. And you know what? Much work equals works. And that's exactly what Jesus is watching us. Our works. Their works do follow them. Work. Our situation. Hey, if we're going to be here, there must be a reason we're here. When there is, it's going to be wonderful. Perfect 72 degrees all the time. I think. I can't prove that, but I think that. Amen. And whatever it is that's keeping me here, I better find out and better do it. Wherefore, we labor. Number one is our situation. Number two is our motivation. Our motivation, because he goes on and he gives a lot of motivation. He uses the word for, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. According to that he hath done. And I've spent a lot of time recently, not sure why, but I've talked a lot about the judgment seat of Christ. I don't think I have to get into the whole thing again, but the whole idea of the judgment seat of Christ is not a judgment on sin. It is a judgment of reward. And it is where gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, it's put in the fire. And it's not a punishment fire. It is simply our whole life, our works, what we've done. And some of our work is gold, silver, precious stones. And some of our work is, unfortunately, wood, hay, and stubble. And whatever is left after it goes through the fire, God says, I will reward you for that. And all that will be left, as we know, is gold, silver, precious stone. What is it? That's our work. That's what we did with our life. That's how we say to God, okay, whatever it was that kept me from eternal bliss in heaven, whatever however many years that I've had here on this earth, and what it was that stopped me from going to heaven that God had for me, how did I do it? And how did I do with it? And what did I do? And God says it will all go through the fire. You won't, but the works will. And you will be rewarded on what is left behind. Now, our motivation, and this I call his reward. That's a motivation, a reward that we might receive. We just recently had the Master Club Regionals, and the young people had all their medals and their awards, and some of them, I mean, they were just covered with those awards and medals and everything, and we're so proud of them. But what happened was somewhere along the line, maybe several years ago, they sat and they watched somebody else get an award. By the way, every Wednesday night, well, since when we go back upstairs, they'll watch these children come up and they'll be presented with an award and shake hands with a preacher and they get their award. And a child, it just depends on the child, but they'll see that and say, you know what, I can do that. I can do that. They'll hear a group sing and they'll say, I could do that. They'll see somebody do something in Master Club and they'll say, I can do that. And there's motivation. I can get that reward. I can get that award. I can earn that badge. And it's motivation. Well, we've all been involved in some competition, whether it's sports. We've had state championship volleyball team here two years ago? Anyway, state championship, soccer, a couple of soccer state championship, basketball. We have a good time. We start out the year, never have started out the year saying, you know what, we don't want to win anything. We're excited. We saw somebody get an award. We saw him get a trophy. We saw him win that thing, and we said, hey, we can do that. And it's motivation. Paul is saying, I have some motivation. I labor. I work. Because someday, I'm going to stand before God. And I'm not going to be judged for my sin, because as we learned this morning, the blood erases our sin. But I'm going to stand before God and receive reward for what I did. You know, people say, preacher, well, you always preach and do this and do this and do this. Do you understand? We're going to be watching. And I'm going to be watching. I'll be honest with you. As the Pick and Paul girls stood up here tonight, I sat there very proud of them. I thought, someday they're going to sing in heaven. And, boy, we're going to have a good time. You know, I watch our young people in the Master Club program and the some of the awards they received and in our Christian school, you know, when we have them, we had our teen night and young Paul Potter got up here and preached and I'm beaming. I'm loving that. What do you suppose, Sunday school teacher, you think when one of your Sunday school students stands before Jesus and Jesus says, "My son, well done, thou good," and you don't think you're going to sit there and just shout and rejoice and praise God? That's our work. That's what it's going to be about. Paul said, that's my motivation. He said, my situation is, I got to be here. God has a reason. He's got something big for me to do. I'm going to do it. And he said, my motivation, one motivation is my reward. My reward. And I do want to remind you that we take our reward and we cast him at the feet of Jesus. Yeah, preacher wants a lot of work to be done. Preacher wants the buses run. Preacher wants the shepherds. Preacher wants master, all these different things. Oh, yeah, amen. I get up and preach about it. But have you ever thought that you're going to stand before God someday for what you did? Somehow I've got this feeling that a lot of TV time is going to burn up. Somehow I've got this feeling a lot of chat room time is going to burn up. Now, again, I'm not saying it's all bad, and I don't think that's what God's saying. It's just, what did you do with what God gave you to do it with? And he left you here to do it. Motivation. Reward. How about this? Here's the next thing I think is a motivation that Paul says. It goes on and it says in verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. Not only is a motivation his reward, but number two, it's his terror. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. I have two thoughts with that. One is that people are going to hell. All around us, people are going to hell. People you know are going to hell. Some of your loved ones are going to hell. Knowing, therefore, how terrible that's going to be. Knowing that God is not willing that any should perish, and he will save them. Paul said, I know that. I know hell is real, and I know people are going to hell. He said, wherefore we labor. Wherefore we run the buses. Wherefore we go soul winning. Wherefore we have an altar call. Wherefore we invite people. Wherefore, why? Because people are going to hell. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord. And that is certainly judgment today. Now, God hates sin. God hates sin. Do not let the world blindfold you into somehow thinking God is just kind of smiling on all the junk that is going on in our world. God hates it. And God hates whitewashing it. Jesus talked to the Pharisees. He said, you're whited sepulchers. What is that? Sepulcher, like a tomb where it's full of dead men's bones. But he said, you've got it all nice and shiny on the outside. So everybody thinks it looks so good, but on the inside it's corrupt and wicked and vile, and it's dead men's bones. And you know, God, knowing therefore, here's why. Why do we labor? Why are we running buses? Why are we going soul winning? Why do we have a Christian school? Why do we do these? Why is it? Well, because God hates sin. Somebody's got to stand up against sin. Somebody's got to stand up against wickedness and sin in the world and say, okay, this is wrong. Adultery is not an affair. It's sin. Fornication is not just premarital sex. It is sin. Sodomy is not something somebody was born with. It is something somebody has chosen. and a sodomite is everything but gay. I've counseled too many. Amen. Drunkenness is not being sociable. I can be very sociable, and I've never been drunk. And I don't need to be drunk. Lying is not exaggerating, it's sin. Sin is still sin. You know, Paul, he obviously knew the love of God, and we're going to talk about that, but he also knew the terror of the Lord. God's chastening is very, very real. I preached about it recently. Our situation, we're still here. We might as well get busy for God. Wherefore we labor. Wherefore we labor, here's our motivation. Number one is his reward. Number two is his terror. Number three, as I just mentioned, is his love. Verse 14, go on in 2 Corinthians 5. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Notice again, 4. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Love is quite a motivator, isn't it? Oh my, so many are motivated by love. The Bible says about Jesus, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That is an amazing verse, and I love it. I remember the first time I preached on it, I studied it out, and I had always just thought, well, that's somebody dying for somebody. Jesus died for us. But that's not what it says. It's even bigger than dying for somebody. It's living for somebody. And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his own life for his friends. Why would anybody lay down their life? Because they love them. And it's not dying. Do you know today, if I were to die, and Paul just proved that, so I know what he's talking about. If I were to die, who'd be better off, me or my wife? Wait a minute. You say, oh, your wife would be better off. I can tell you that. No. Who would be better off, me or my wife? Me. Man, I'm on streets of gold. I've got a perfect body. I have no glaucoma. Don't have to worry about glasses. Don't have to worry about snoring at night. Don't have to worry about sleep apnea stuff and all that kind of thing. Don't have to worry about being tired. Don't have to worry about being sore. Who'd be better? Honey, I'd die for you. And what am I saying? Yeah, I would escape here and have a perfect world just for you. And she says, how much life insurance do you know? But I'm going to tell you how I say I love you. Honey, I'll live for you. I'll live for you. It's more than climbing the highest mountain and swimming the deepest sea. It's day in, day out, you're first. That's what he's saying. And love is a motivator. Many have been motivated by love. I think about when I realized, you know, when I first saw her, I was madly in love. No, there is no such thing as that. But after a while, I realized I'll do anything. I remember buying her things. I remember spending money. I remember spending time. I remember driving distances. I remember all those kind of things. Love is quite a motivator. Love is quite a motivator. By the way, guy will spend $500 or $1,000 for a ticket to a dumb football game. You say, well, I thought you said love was, oh, it is. It's his love. Hey, what constrains you? What makes you do really weird, amazing, sacrificial kinds of things? Paul said the love of Christ. Hey, again, we're talking about people in the early church who eventually were martyred for Christ. Motivated by the love of Christ. We had the Lord's Supper this morning and talked about the Lord Jesus' blood, how he was beaten, bloodied for us. That's motivation to me. Wherefore we labor. Wherefore you get up in the morning and on a Sunday morning while most of the people in the neighborhood and the county are sound asleep, and you get up early and you go out there and start that bus. Amen. Why do you do the love of Christ? Why do you do that? The terror of the Lord. Why do you do that? For we must all appear. Wow. A preacher one time was given an illustration. The church was going through a battle in the church, and finally it was so bad in the church, this a retired military man and his wife came up to the preacher and said, you know, he said, this is really bad. People are fighting and everything. He said, I'm going to leave till everything calms down. And the preacher looked at him. He said, really? He said, is that what you did in Vietnam? The guy said, well, no. He said, well, do you love the United States more than you love God? What constrains you? What pushes you? What keeps you going? Love of Christ. It's a motivation. Number one, our situation. Number two, our motivation. We're motivated by His reward. We're motivated by the terror of the Lord. We're motivated by His love. And then we're motivated by His sacrifice. Verse 15, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. See, that's not politically correct, is it? No. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. What about me? What about what I want? What about my life? This is what we hear over and over and over and over. What about how I feel? What about my time? It's my day off. What about? That He died for all. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. What motivates you, preacher? His sacrifice. By the way, we just celebrated Memorial Day a week ago. Parades, all of that. Why did we do that? Why would we have a whole day? Well, initially it was because we were recognizing those who made an ultimate sacrifice. Right? Doesn't that mean a lot to us? How about our Lord? Motivated by His sacrifice. He died for all. And we ought to have this idea in the back of our minds somehow that if He died for all, shouldn't we tell all? Shouldn't we tell everyone? If He died for everyone. Amen. He died that we may live. I owe Him to keep going, don't I? Paul thought he did. Our situation, our motivation, and then the last thing, number three, is our representation. And he goes on in verse 20, and he says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I preached one time on, I don't remember the title of the message, but it just hit me. I preached on this, in Christ's stead, He took my place, now I take His place. He ascended to heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for me. I'm here. I'm left here. Could be there. Mansion, streets of gold, perfect body, everything perfect. And I'm here in His place. The big stir years ago, what would Jesus do? Made somebody a whole lot of money. But it is an excellent question. Since I'm taking His place, what would He do in this place? What would He do in your place? What would He do if you are taking His place? Okay, how would He do it? I'm an ambassador. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. We're from another country. Really? Yeah, heavenly. And we are here on earth representing who? Our heavenly country and our God. That means the world's opinion is based on us. Scary, isn't it? They make a very careful selection of a nation's ambassadors. Why? Because they represent their country. I don't know, Brother Chase, you may have looked all this up, have it memorized backwards and forwards. I'm not sure about the requirements for an ambassador, but I would imagine they are very, very strict. I mean, what if an ambassador, you know, what if they came and they had on one brown shoe and one black shoe? Really? Now, in your country, is the way you're dressed, is that pretty much how? No, you messed up? Well, what if they had bad breath? What if they had rock lay between their teeth? You know? What if they had body odor? I remember we started our church and Jim Meir was one of our first converts, got saved on the first Sunday night that we started our church there in Indiana. And Jim Meir and his son both got saved. And the next week, he and I went soul winning together. Jim had one problem. He smoked a lot. I mean, he smoked as much as any man I have ever seen. And Jim, he said, preacher, you know, he got in my car. And as soon as he got in my car, I said, I carry my asthma spray with me. And, you know, I'm trying to be careful, and I'm reaching down, I'm having to take a puff, not a puff of what he was puffing, but a puff of my asthma spray, because, I mean, it was bad. Finally, he looked over at me, he said, and you know, tears are in my eyes, it was bad. I mean, I just couldn't handle it. And he said, I feel kind of bad. I had to have a cigarette before I came out. And his result wasn't from that cigarette, it was from multitudes of cigarettes over the long, long time. But I'll never forget. He was so embarrassed. He said, "Can you smell the smoke?" I said, "Can I smell the smoke? You got to be kidding me, man! A fan couldn't keep all the smoke off." By the time we were done, we both smelled like we'd been to the bar smoking. I mean, it was bad. But I did work with him and try to help him quit, and it was hilarious, flushing his cigarettes down the toilet. Now, I was young; I didn't know any better. It worked. You can't smoke them once they've gone down the toilet. They don't light well. But can you imagine the ambassador coming with plaid pants and a checkered shirt? I know there's some of you say, that sounds good. Can you imagine if the ambassador cussed and swore? And I'm just saying, you know, God does look on the heart. That's a big, boy, that's big. God's looking on the heart. But we're ambassadors to folks who can't see the heart. And they see the you. You say, what are you saying? Brush your teeth. Use scope. No. I'm just saying, you know what? I'm going to do my very best. I'm going to do my very best to smile, to have a good testimony, to use deodorant. Amen. I'm going to do my very best to represent. Why? Because I'm an ambassador. Wherefore, we labor. That's why you keep the buses running. That's why you keep knocking on doors. That's why you keep teaching the old King James Bible. That's why we keep ministering to the shepherds, and we keep bringing shepherds in and keep telling them how to be saved. That's why we'll have a whole bunch of folks involved in the fair ministry, and we'll have Vacation Bible School, and we'll just keep right on doing it. Why? Wherefore we labor. Hey, God left us here for a reason. I don't think it was simply to watch TV. I don't think it was just to play on the computer. I don't think it's to see how fast we can text and how many abbreviated words we can create. I think God obviously has a plan for our lives. And so our situation, hey, we're here. Might as well do what he wants us to do. Our motivation is the fact that there's a reward coming. The terror of the Lord, the love of God, and the sacrifice of God, and then our representation. We represent Him. How you doing? Wherefore we labor. Let's bow our heads, please.